Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. The panel this week is me, Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings, and Paddy Power's Darren Hughes, and we've got one of the highlights of the whole summer, and indeed the entire flat season. It's the King George and Queen Elizabeth Kitco Stakes. Crystal Ocean versus Enable should be an absolute cracker. There's loads more great action at Ascot. There's also three races live from York, and then we will look ahead to some good stuff in France and up in Yorkshire on Sunday. But let's get stuck into the four races on ITV at Ascot, starting with 150. It's the Princess Margaret Keeneland Stakes over 6 furlongs. And Darren, we've got a very warm favourite to kick off with.
We have indeed, Bruce, yeah, but we are actually money back on this race if Summer Romance wins. She is our 8-11 favourite at the moment. Ultraviolet is 6-1. So Sharp for Archie Watson is 8-1. Good Vibe is 10s. Aroha is 12s. Living in the Past is 12s. And it is 16s bar.
And that's for a tenner, is it?
It's a tenner, yeah.
Max, so if you have a £10 bet on another horse and Summer Romance wins, you get your money back, which can't be bad. That's available at paddypower.com and on the Racing Post app. Okay, Kills, is this a penalty kick?
I don't know if it's a penalty kick or not, but she does look very good. I mean, the first thing we need to mention is that, you know, from a forecast yesterday morning of saying there could be about 6 mil of rain, they're now suggesting about 30. Like, you know what I mean? So we've absolutely no idea what they're going to get.
Good to firm at the moment.
Good to firm at the moment. Could be soft. Could still be good to firm. We don't know. The Met Office says like 50% chance of rain all day long. Like, you know, and the Norwegian site that I use is forecasting 30 mil. So we'll have to see. But see, the thing is with her, I mean, she bolted up by 6 lengths on fast ground at Newmarket last time. But when she won on the debut with soft ground, she bolted up there as well. So she looks, you know, she looks potentially top class. She's got the best form in the race by a fair way anyway. I think she's going to be very, very hard to beat.
DJ, are you going to play it safe or are you going to take the jolly on?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Summer Romance. She's one of these that first time out was really impressed. Thought she'd win second time out. Didn't think she'd be so impressive. She was explosive. It's just a price thing. You know, she's just a very short price given there's so many unexposed types in the race. I do think she'll win. The one that I thought was overpriced was actually Dark Lady for Richard Hannan. Now, I know she only won a Lingfield maiden on the all-weather, but boy, was she impressive. Like, she came out to the middle of the track. She won by 5 lengths. She could have won by 10. I think she'll reverse the form with So Sharp from when they met at Newbury. So Sharp is half the price of Dark Lady. And I think they should be much closer together in the betting. So I do think Summer Romance will win. But from a betting point of view, I would certainly be suggesting Dark Lady each way at 16s.
And Darren, are you keeping Summer Romance on side or are you top industry price? What's your strategy going to be here?
No, I'm taking her on myself, Bruce. No, she's obviously looked very good visually speaking, but like, I just wonder about the actual quality of the form. I mean, the horse she beat the last day was stone last in a listed race at Sandown yesterday, so the first evidence of the form is suggested it isn't the strongest in the world. The one that I came down on was Flaming Princess Richard Fahey at 16-1. She was 7th at Royal Ascot behind the likes of Rafford Prize and Liberty Beach, and that form looks okay now with the pair of them having gone in since. But the 6th furlong would help her with the step up and trip, and the better ground might help her as well. So, not saying she might necessarily be good enough to win this, but I'd expect her to take another step forward, and she should be thereabouts.
Righty ho, the 225 3-year-old handicap over the straight mile. It's the Porsche handicap. Have we got a Porsche in here, or are they a bunch of Austin Allegros? What's the betting, Darren?
So we are Mata Kael 5-2. Wings of Time for Godolphin is 3-1. Beatboxer for Frankie and John Godson is 5s. Flashcard is 5s, Sash is 8th, and it is 10s bar.
And DJ, who wins?
I'm going to chance Flashcard here. I think he could reverse the form with Mata Kael from Newmarket. Mata Kael has gone up £6 for winning that day. Now, he was reasonably impressive, but I just thought Flashcard was so keen. If you remember the first time Flashcard ran at Goodwood, I think Keel's tipped it up. I think he was very keen in it. Went off 5-2 favourite to win off American 93, down to 91 now. But it's been a gradual progression. Like, it didn't really run well at Goodwood. It was on the wrong part of the track. Then next time at Newmarket, it was a big improvement behind all, where I thought he travelled really well. And then he was much more enthusiastic last time at Newmarket, where, again, he was just a little bit keen and fizzy in the early part of the race. I do think he's stepping up in each start this season, and that's what I like. And I think at the prices, he's certainly valued to reverse that form. I'm going to be chancing Flashcard.
Flashcard for David Jennings. Who for Darren Hughes?
all over Wings of Time here, Bruce. Surprised that he's not outright favourite. I was so impressed with him the last day at Newmarket. Like, I think his effort can be marked up again on the basis that he raced away from the rest of them on his own on the standside rail, whereas, you know, he had to make his own running, and he managed, you know, he obviously managed to win. His time was a full 2 seconds quicker than Mata Kael's over the same course and distance. He ran two days later on the same ground conditions as well. For me, this is near enough a banker. Can't believe he's not outright favoured in a Loch Jordan 3-1. I'm all over this match.
Oh, very strong from Darren. Kills, have you got strong fancy here?
Yeah, I mean, you can basically just replay everything DJ said. It's exactly how I came down on it. I think with Flashcard, he was actually thought to be like the best handicap horse in Andrew Baldwin's yard earlier in the season. That's why he went off so short. But it has been a gradual process. He's been getting better and better and better. He will like any cut in the ground. And the time difference between Mata Kael and Wings of Time. Mata Kael stole that race. They went so slowly. That's why he was so keen. He'd do well at Ascot, where they tend to come back from in front instead, you know. And I just think Flashcard's got everything going for him tomorrow.
Okay. This is an extension of the sectionals lesson you were giving me on the golf course,
yeah,
isn't it?
Was. Yeah.
I said to Kills, right, I said, look, I'm determined to try and crack sectionals here. Come and tell me what I need to be looking at. And he started talking me through it, and then
you had a little nap after that.
I zoned out a little bit, I must say, but it was very hot, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, the 3 o'clock at Ascot, just the 29 runners, 7 furlongs. We don't know the draw by, so we don't know the going. Should be easy, and we've got an old favourite who runs in all these kind of races at the head of the market, don't we, Darren?
We have indeed, Bruce, yeah, and we are also 5 paces on this race, excuse me, even with the 29 runners, so you've a good chance to get, or 6 paces, I beg your pardon, so you have a good chance of getting some place money. Rip Orf for Hayley Turner and David Ellsworth is our 7-1 favourite. Land of Legends is 9-1. Raisin Sand is 10s. Arbalet is 10s. Mubhidge is 10s. Burnt Sugar is 12s. Vale of Kent is 12s. Lake Bolt is 12s. Spanish City is 12s. Banar is 12s. And it is 14s bar.
I think I might need 14 places to be able to get anything out of this race. It's a real brute of a race. But Darren, help us to solve it. You go first.
Yeah, very, very tough. I'm going to throw 2 darts at it just with the big field and you know, the big prices in here. The first one I came down on was Burnt Sugar, who won it last year. I think you can write off his two runs at the start of this year on awful ground at Haydock, which, you know, we all know is like soft ground there is different to soft ground everywhere else. It just turns rotten. I thought he ran a little bit better the last day, but still not great at Newmarket. Just think the return to this track, and hopefully the rain doesn't come down as hard as we're expecting it to come down. And I thought he might go well again at a price. The yard is coming into form too. And then the other one is the resident Darren Hughes Cliff horse, A. Jonesy. Now, he is drawn on the stand side, which we obviously don't know the bias as yet, but does tend to be favourable at Ascot. I think the step up to 7 furlongs is what this lad has wanted for a little while. He ran quite well behind Marie's Diamond the last day, who I expect to win on Sunday at Pontefract. And at 25-1, I just thought he was worth the swing.
Righty-ho, so your two are, Darren, to recap,
Burnt Sugar and A. Jonesy.
Rightio, and Kills, who do you like?
Yeah, I've backed a couple, but with the race, with the rain coming, a little bit worried about one of them, Lush Life, who's never run on soft ground, and Jamie Osborne switched Nicola Curry to Raising Sand. He had a down for Lush Life originally earlier in the week. Raising Sand was obviously third in the Hunt Cup, fourth in the Victoria Cup, and will like the ground. I can actually see him going off favourite. But the one, you know, one I still like, slightly worried about, and Arbalet, I don't know how to say it, been running in listed races all season over anything from 6 to a mile. And he basically wants a big field and a strong gallop to chase. And he was, you know, he's 5th to Expert Eye in New Jersey last year. He was 2nd in this race off a £3 Eye mark. And then he ran Expert Eye at York. He ran him to 2.5 lengths. Now, Expert Eye went on and won the Breeders' Cup Mile. And he's only beaten 2.5 lengths by him, and he's in here off 101. You could imagine what price Expert Eye would be if he ran in this race off, say, 107 or something. So, you know, I still think he's got a good chance. Slightly worried about the ground.
Is there an old rip-off?
I'm just only a rip-off because I just think he hasn't got that spark that he had last year. He's getting going a bit too late. David Ellsworth's only winner on turf this year was Dandu in the Nell Gwyn, not the Nell Gwyn, the
Fred Darling.
The Red Darling. So, So yeah, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a worry with that. I mean, you know, if, when he bounces back to form, and I think they're trying to tongue tie as well. So he's got, you know, he's obviously runs his race. He's never been out the first five in five, you know, 20 plus runner handicaps there. He's got a shout. Others who will go well if the ground does soften. Maxime won a favour for this a couple of years ago. He wants ease in the ground. He's under a penalty. Blue Mist is another one that wants a bit of cut in the ground. Was sixth in the Victoria Cup. But I come down on one pure, you know, almost purely because
we haven't had your tip yet. No,
my second tip. The first tip's Arbelote.
Okay,
yeah, we're coming. I'm allowed to waffle.
No, of course you're not. I think there's one.
Right, yeah, no. Willie Haggis trained Island of Life. Now, she's only run once on soft ground. She ran to her level at the time, but it was a lot lower than she is now. She was a very good horse on the all weather. She rated 101. Second to above the rest, second in the York Fillies and Mares Championship on Good Friday. Like a bit of all-weather form going to Ascot. She's run over 6 furlongs last 2 starts. She was actually third to Invincible Army, which was a good run, and then she just found it happening far too quick for York last time. The key could be Kieran Fallon. Now, he may or may not be as good as his old man one day. He's got a long way to go, but his strike rate at the moment is better than every single jockey in the country. He is absolutely flying. The £5 claim is total theft. She's dropped to 95. With him taking 5 off, she's running effectively off 90. And she does finish strongly over 7 furlongs. So if the ground isn't a big bock to her, she's 25-1. I think she's got a big chance.
And who trains her?
William Haggis.
You said Willie earlier.
Oh yeah, not allowed to say that.
Not allowed to say that.
But not anymore. No, William Haggis.
Get a good old bollocking if you bring him up.
But I mean, there isn't a better. They're not a better judge. And he starts using jockeys. I mean, he started using Danny Tudhope all the time this year. I mean, you know, he probably is the best jockey in the country at the moment. Like, and he will be champion. I'm sure of that.
You told me to back him at 20-1, and I didn't do it.
I didn't do it either. It's made it even worse. I kept thinking about it.
Sickening.
And never did. But yeah, so William Haggis has latched onto him as well. And she's got a big chance.
Don't you hate it, DJ, when people waffle on the postcards for absolutely ages like Keel's just did?
Oh, so annoying. Jesus, I hate people like that. They really irritate me. Just my snap synopsis of this race is Arbelay was one of my two. Was the second of my two choices. I thought it's got a crack. Like, it's done well to get down to 101 because he's been running quite well in really decent races. Like, it was rated 107 2 months ago. It's been running consistently reasonably well, finishing third and fourth, and it's down to 101 and back in a handicap. So I think Arbelay is very interesting and bizarre that me and Keels have tipped the same horse in the first 3 races, which is very, very unlikely. But my main selection, and I have a theory on this, my main selection is Land of Legends for Saeed Bin Sarur. I think in the next fortnight, I think punters that latch on to Saeed Bin Sarur's horses coming back into form will make a profit because he's got some really well handicapped horses now. I think they're potentially group horses running in handicaps, and this is one of them. In the last fortnight, he's had 19 runners. He's had 7 winners, 3 seconds, and 3/3. And like, he's had winners at decent prices as well. He had a 6-1 winner at Newmarket in a decent handicap the other day. This Land of Legends, I thought, did really well to win at Newmarket. Dug really deep for a horse running his first handicap. To knuckle down the way he did, I thought, was really impressive. But 1 off 91, he's only got a £5 penalty. If you remember back to his debut, he was second to King of Comedy at Yarmouth. That form hasn't worked out too bad at all. He's entered in a group two. I think potentially he's a good bit ahead of his mark. He's straightforward. He likes to be prominent. The trip is perfect. The track should suit. And Saeed Bin Sarur, latch on now. So Land of Legends for me, Bruce.
Jolly good. Right, let's go to the main event of the day and indeed the summer. The 3:40 at Ascot, the King George, the 6th and Queen Elizabeth Kipco Stakes. Over a mile and a half, it should be an absolute cracker. Give us the latest show of betting, if you would, Darren.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, we are 8-13 in Nibble. Crystal Ocean is 11-4. Anthony Van Dyke is 8-1. Bo's 14s. Wall Geese is 16s. Cheville Grand is 33-1. Miranda and Salwin are 66-1, as is Magic Wand. And then Huntinghorn and Norway are both 100-1.
You're going to Ascot, Kills. Looking forward to this?
I am, yeah. Can't wait. It's a fantastic race, this, isn't it? You know, I mean, we've got an able. She's odds on. She probably deserves to be odds on. She has, after all, won 10 on the spin, all at different tracks, 8 Group 1s, 2 arcs. You can't knock her at all, can you? And she's the most uncomplicated horse going. They can put her anywhere in the race. She'll sit off the speed. I'd imagine there'll be a fair amount of pace going on here with the Aidan O'Brien.
Aidan's got a few coming up.
A few. All 4 wearing cheek pieces. Going to really make it a test. But she, you know, she is very, very closely matched with Crystal Ocean. Even from last year when she beat him 3.5 lengths, but he was giving her £8 and wasn't given the hardest time in the world. And he's a better horse this year. Now he's only given her £3. He gave £3 and a length and a quarter beating to Magical at Royal Ascot. And they will beat Magical 3/4 of a length off levels. So they are extremely, extremely closely matched. I hope that we will see the two of them pull clear and get in a right battle. And
they'll both do their running. The most consistent, yeah, as well as being brilliant, they're so consistent,
Ocean,
aren't they?
He's also an incredibly consistent horse who's just better this year. And, you know, that run at Ascot was really good. So I think it'd be incredibly close. And, you know, I'm, you know me, I'm never one for not betting on a race.
It's just the first ever race to see rather than bet on.
I think I am just going to watch this. And I just think it would be close. I should be saying back Crystal Ocean because it shouldn't be as big a price as it is. But, you know, like everybody else, I've got a bit of a love for Enable, you know what I mean? So I think I'm just going to watch it. But I do think it'd be very close. I can't see any of the others getting into it. Maybe Defoe for third because he's sort of grown up this year after being gelded. But I don't, you know, I don't see the rest in their league. They're two very, very good horses.
Wow, 51 years and Kills has finally found a race not to bet on. That must make it some race. DJ, are you looking forward to this?
Oh, can't wait. And he's probably right. It's probably a race that you can afford to watch and still get as much enjoyment out of it. I still don't think I've got over Crystal Ocean getting beaten in this race last year. I thought he was an absolute certainty. And like two down, a furlong down, he still looked the certainty. He was just collared by Poet's Word. I think it's just typical Michael Stout, just improving every year after year. The older he gets, the better he gets. And he's probably right. They are the two best horses in the race. They're likely to fight out the finish. But I do think there is a bet in here. In fact, I'm convinced of it. The rain is a little bit of a worry, but I think the value option, if there is betting without the two favourites or potentially each way, I still think it's Volgeist. When I go back to the Prince of Wales at Ascot, it was the most lacklustre, lethargic run I have ever seen from Volgeist. He was the first under pressure. He seemed to absolutely hate every moment of it. And he still was good enough to finish third and beat the others. I thought it was his raw ability that got him home. Now, I thought before the rain came, I thought it was the first occasion you were going to get a mile and a half on decent ground and at Ascot. And I thought it was going to play right to his strengths. And I thought he would be the one to pick up the pieces when they go fast up front with Aidens. And obviously the two at the top of the market I thought would fight out the finish. I was utterly convinced that he would be the one to finish third. I'm still convinced he will. He has won on soft ground. He's won on good to soft. He's better on better ground, but I do think he'll cope with conditions. I think he's a much better horse than we saw. He was taken out of his comfort zone over a mile and two. He's only tried a mile and two twice in the last two seasons. That tells you that he's a stayer. And for me, I would side with him as the value option. I think Paddy Power will certainly have a market betting without Enable and Crystal Ocean over the next 24 hours. To me, that would be the bet. Or even back in each way without Enable. I'd be really disappointed if Volgeist doesn't finish in the first three.
Okay, and Darren, what are your thoughts?
I've discussed this race in Postcast three times now. Myself, Tom Segal, and Nick Watt did this in Antipost one a couple of weeks back. And again, there on the Monday previous, I'm all over Crystal Ocean. Absolutely all over him. I've had a whopper bet by my standards at 7-2 Antipost. I'm going to go in again this evening. There's some 3-1 available. I think he's a different beast this year than what we saw last year. And my selection of him is not a knock on Enable. I think she's every bit as good as she's been made out to be. But in Crystal Ocean this year, I think we're looking at something very, very special. His performance in Ascot on unsuitable conditions was nothing short of mind-blowing, to be honest with you. Like soft ground 10 furlongs is not his bag. And for him to do what he did to that field that day blew me away. Like, the rain that's meant to fall at Ascot tonight is a little bit of a put-off. They're doing him on fast ground, but even so, I think he's a bet here. I'd have him near the 7-4, 13-8 maybe, than the 11-4, 3-1 available. I think he's an absolutely whopper bet, and can't wait for the race tomorrow, no matter what way it goes, but I'm expecting to beat her.
Okay, a quick word on the Derby winner, Kills, Anthony Van Dyck.
Yeah, it was very rare for a Derby winner to turn up here and be like 8-1 and not barely...
Not even have had a mention yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he obviously wants them to go faster than they went in Ireland last time when he couldn't reel in Sovereign. But yeah, I mean, the three-year-olds just don't look that good. And these are two very, very good horses. Like, you know, he needs to step up dramatically.
When you're finished.
Go on.
Can I ask Darren a question?
Go on.
Darren, what price would Japan be if Japan ran instead of Anthony Van Dyck?
Anthony Van Dijk is 8. I'd say no bigger than probably 9-2 DJ or 4-1. That's just off the top of my head now. I'd have to pile it properly. But if Anthony Van Dijk is 8-1, I'd say Pan is probably a 9-2 shot.
Yeah, okay. That'd be about 4. Yeah.
Sorry, Kills. I found it interesting what you were saying. DJ obviously didn't, but go on.
I just don't think the three-year-olds were, you know, they haven't shown that they're that good. I mean, Japan wasn't, even Japan wasn't that impressive in France last time. So,
where will Anthony finish?
I will, you know, fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth. Okay, let's do a 1-2-3 because it's such a big race, isn't it? DJ, 1-2-3.
I think it's kind of straightforward. Enable first, Crystal Ocean second, and Wallguys third.
Darren?
Crystal Ocean first, Enable second, and I'm going to say Defoe for third.
And Kills.
I will go Crystal Ocean, Enable, and Daylight, but Defoe.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, chaps. Let's do York next.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. We're going to look at three ITV races from York where they're sure to get a fantastic crowd. As always, we'll start with the 205, the Sky Bet Get Knotted Handicap over 7 furlongs in honour of that fine beast. And Darren, take it away with a show from Paddy Power.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so Get Knotted is our 7-2 favourite. Medahim then for the on fire Danny Tudhope is 11-2. Bedouin Story is 6-1. Tommy Taylor is 6-1. Love Dreams is 7-1. Penwortham is 7-1. And it is 8-1 and bar the rest.
DJ, will Get Knotted win the Get Knotted?
I don't think so, because I think he's lost a bit of interest. I think in the early part of his races, he's getting scrubbed along. Obviously, he loves York, he loves 7 furlongs, and the race is named after him, so everything possible is in his favour. But I just thought last time, he was under the pump a long way from home. He was really disappointing. I know he takes a few runs to come right, but I fancied him last time, and I thought he was disappointing. On my side, Bin Sarur team, I think Bedouin Story is a crack in each way price here. He's 6-1. He's wearing cheek pieces for the first time. I think this is a slight drop in grade from what he contested at Newcastle last time. To me, back on grass off American 94, he's got loads to offer in a race like this. York should be tailor-made from that big long home straight. He's a prominent racer. He sees out the trip quite well. He was in Maidan during the off-season, and I'm hoping the side Bin Sarur resurgence will continue here with Bedouin Story.
DJ, have you ticked off York yet?
No, I can't wait to go.
Oh, you need to get over there. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah, maybe Debor. Maybe
yeah,
Debor.
You should do. Darren, who wins the Get Knotted?
I came down in Love Dreams, Bruce. I think back on better ground, he should have still have a good chance. He's been dropped a couple of pounds since he met Get Knotted over the course of this in June, but that was with a bit of cut to the ground. If York manages to avoid the rain tomorrow and with Sylvester Souza in the plate, I'd expect him to go very, very close, and I fancy him to win.
God, he's cost me a few quid this year. Love Dreams. Kills, who do you like?
York's not supposed to avoid the rain, is it? It's supposed to get plenty. Now, Get Knotted. The race is named after him because it's the
DJ
only,
thinks that's a positive. He thinks that
race.
Someone's obviously gone into his box and said, you know, this race Saturday, they've named it after you. He said that means everything's in his
favour.
Well,
they've named it after him because he has won it for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's probably fair to say that he's been aimed at it. And because he's run badly, he's actually on a lower mark now than he was for any of those three. So you can't rule him. You can't rule him out. But the horse that was second to him last year is like nearly 4 times the price. Starlight Romance. Now she really likes the course as well. She won a 15 runner handicap in May last year. She was then second off a £3 lower mark than she is now to Get Knotted on soft ground in this race last year. Her only run at the track this year, she got beaten a nose in a field of 15. She's had 2 quietish runs since, but a 5-week break. And it just, you know, just to me, it just looks like she's been laid out for it again as well. And she's a much bigger price, and I think she'll go close.
Righty ho. Darren, take us through the prices for the 240, this Sky Bet Dash.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, we are 5 places on this race as well. So Gulliver is our 6-1 favourite. Flying Pursuit is 15-2. Staxon is 8-1. Macho Chief is 8-1. Golden Apollo is 8-1. Encrypted is 10s. Dakota Gold is 10s. Growl is 10s. And it is 14-1 and bar the rest.
And you get first crack at it, Darren.
The one I came down on here, now, I've been slightly tempered by the fact Heels tells me it's going to piss rain in York all night and tomorrow. But the one I came down on was Encrypted for Hugo Palmer. He has course form, and I think Hugo Palmer's started to come into form as well. The yard He's had 6 winners since the 17th of July, including a double yesterday. Derek Keenan taking £5 off is, like, look, he's not, I'm not saying he's as good as Kieran Fallon, but he's an excellent apprentice's goal. Very handy £5 off the back. This is a drop in class, generally speaking. Like, he's kind of flirted with listed and stakes races as well. So I'd be hopeful he could go very close here at 10-1.
And Kills.
Yeah, it's quite simple. If the rain does get there and the going is good or softer, Camacho Chief will win.
Do you want to tell us why?
He is just easily the most progressive horse in the lineup. He absolutely hacked up, beat Duke of Friends at Doncaster last time, pulling double all the way. The time before that, he had, you know, the one minor issue is 6 furlongs, but the time before at Haydock, it was heavy ground. And it was his first run at 6 furlong for a while, and they went fairly steadily because of the ground. And he was pulling double all over him, but doing too much too soon. And he just got a bit tired. And he was only beating 2¼ lengths or something. And he was, you know, it was rated as his third best run of his life anyway. The ground won't be as bad. They'll go faster at York anyway, because they always do. That will suit him. I think he's going to end up at least £12 higher than he is at the moment. He's running off 100. You can bet 5 places this race. I mean, if it's good or softer, how he finishes out the first 5, I do not know.
Ooh, very confident shout. Follow that, DJ.
Well, you know the funny thing about this race? I hate these sprints at York. I absolutely hate them because I just find them, they're a head-scratcher. But I was praying you'd come to me first for this race because I was absolutely convinced that the three of us would tip the same horse. Like, convinced, I said. And then I said, I was going through whose goal was first, and I said, oh no, I'm going to be last here, and it's just going to be like I'm copying the lads. But none of them have even mentioned who I was sure to tip. Flying Pursuit won this race for the last 2 years in a row off a mark of 90 and 94. He's off 92 this time. Like, his form at York when there's cut on the ground is incredible, really. And given that the rain that's predicted, 15-2, that could look really, really big by the time the race comes around tomorrow. I just think these are his terms and conditions, and he's not badly handicapped. He's £2 lower than when he won the race last year, and I was utterly convinced Keels is going to tip him. Now, so I'm a little bit lukewarm that he hasn't. But
were you close to tipping him, Keels?
No, not really. I've just been all over Camacho Chief. I just think he's a massively, massively improving horse.
Okay. Anything to add, DJ?
No, Flying Pursuit, but I will. Keels makes a very compelling case for Camacho Chief, and I respect the big man.
You might have to have a Rod Laver, as Couch used to say there, on Camacho. Okay, and the other race at York is the 3:15. It's the Sky Bet York Stakes over 1.2 miles. Darren, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
We are 6-4, Regal Reality. A Dave is 10-3. Alarcam is 9-2. Bangkok is 9-2. Forest Rangers 10s, and Knight of the Hall rounds them out at 12-1.
A small field, but an intriguing race, Kills. I must admit, I really liked Adape after what he did last time. Can you talk me out of that?
Yeah, that was it. Well, see, the thing is, Regal Reality has the best fast ground form, no doubt about it. Obviously, he's an absolute loon. He played up so badly before the Brigadier Gerard, they didn't even get him to the paddock, but he still won the race, so it didn't matter. And he was on his best behaviour in the Eclipse, and he wasn't beaten that far by Enable and Magical. So that's the best form, but if it lashes down, Adape was 6-1 earlier in the week, which is, you know, obviously we didn't have that forecast, but if it lashes down, which it looks like it's set to do, then he's a massive, massive player on that win at Ascot, because he just travelled so sweetly through, and he was just all, you know, from turning it to the straight, it was just a matter of how far he was going to win and when the jockey pressed the button. And I think, you know, even though he's shortened now to 130, I think he'll get shorter for sure, and I would favour him over Regal Reality. I think Regal Reality did run to his form at the time on his only previous run on soft ground, so it's not like he won't run to his best, but I think Adabe is a proper tool on soft ground.
Excellent. Good stuff. That's very much endorsed my view. DJ, what are your views on this race?
Yeah, the rain is the killer here because, you know, Adabe, if the rain comes, like, his chances increase double. Like, it's a real look, during the week, I was keen on Alarcam all week because I think at York, now that he's actually learned to win races and dig deep, when I went back to the race at Ascot when he was, whatever, 2 lengths behind Adabe, I just thought he got to the front too soon, did too much too early, was always probably a little bit closer to the pace than ideal in the way the race was ran. And I think the key thing here for Alarcam is Knight to Behold, because I think Alarcam is a type of horse that needs to sit second or third off a strong pace and pick up the pieces, because I think he's more of a grinder. I don't think he's got that instant turn of foot. And I just think with Knight to Behold in here, I think he'll make the running. I think Alarcam will sit second. And I just think up that home straight at York, I think he'll grind it out. I'm just praying praying that there won't be an absolute deluge. Like, I hope it's not bottomless, because if it is bottomless, a day will win. But if it is kind of good to soft, just on the soft side of good, I think at 9-2, I think LRCAM is a cracking price.
Okay, and Darren, it's a fascinating contest, this, isn't it?
Yeah, like DJ, the rain has kind of thrown me a little bit. Like, initially, I was coming on here to tip Bangkok. I happen to think Japan is an absolute proper tool, and you know, I thought he might frank the form for him again. The rain has sort of thrown me a small bit. I thought Knight the Behold was half interesting at a big price, given he might just get an easy lead. And if it does come down, you know, if the rain does come down proper, he's blinkers for the first time. You know, he might have a little bit to find with these, but he could turn this into a messy race. He's pretty much the only guaranteed front runner. The likes of Regal Reality, like, I don't like taking short prices about horses who have his sort of temperament. And, you know, the fact that he needs to be held up and stuff like that in a small field, it could just get very, very messy for him. And the rain is only another negative. So I'd be put off him. If the rain does come down, I'm going to take a chance and Knight the Behold as well.
Okay, chaps. Jolly good. Right, let's look at the other races taking place on Saturday, as well as the undercards at Ascot and York. We've got Garum Park, we've got Newcastle, we've got Chester, Newmarket, Salisbury and Lingfield. Loads and loads to get stuck into. Kiels, how many are in your roundup?
Yeah, got a few here, actually, yeah. I've got two at York, 420, Macawi. Just a mare I've been backing a few times. I think she ran into a well-handicapped horse in Mancini last time at York, but she's still improved for stepping up to 2 mile, and I don't think going will bother her at all. I think it'll go well. And Appointed, 455. Appointed, she won the race, same race 2 years ago on soft ground, off an £11 higher mark. Just started to run well again. Very, very well handicapped at the best. Soft ground will suit her. Sorry, mate, I was just trying to look at the...
looking at cricket.
I'm looking at the cricket scores. I've backed Ireland. I'm hearing that England have taken 3 wickets since we've come in here. So that's a bit of a disaster. What did you say then? You didn't say 4, did you?
Come on, Kills.
Right. Anyway, 450, Ascot. Shady McCoy ran really well at Sandown the other day. Has some good form at Ascot on soft ground, so we'll appreciate that. Got Serena Brother in the saddle. Last race, Unit of Assessment, gagged up at Goodwood on soft ground 2 starts ago. Still very well handicapped, £5 higher, back on softish ground. Chester, 3 o'clock, Angel Alexander has the draw and will likely have the ground as well. Goes well around Chester from stall one. And one that I just keep backing, a bit of a cliff horse, Manjarman, 435 at Newmarket. Just keeps running well enough for me to throw a few more quid at him next time. Like, you know what I mean? And he was 8th in a red hot race at Newmarket last time, to King's Advice.
Last chance for that one to...
Yeah, it has to be last chance. He'll probably win after that, won't he? But I'll be throwing a few quid at his way.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's a few loyalty tips coming up in DJ's roundup. Away you go, mate.
Yeah, 13. And I'm only joking. I've only got 2. In the 2:30 at Gorham Park, Diantis returns here for Richard O'Brien. She's a filly we haven't seen since April, but she's dropped £4 from 84 to 80. She's been running better races than this. She looks a standout. Like, it's it just looks the type of race. If they got a bit of rain, it looks the type of race that she could mop up. Gary Carroll has been booked. She's a bit better than these, I think. So Diantis, especially if there was money for her. Richard O'Brien stable, he'd a winner last week, so his horse are just coming back into form. That's in the 2:30 at Gorham Park. And the one I'm really keen on is in the 4:15 at Ascot. It's the listed race. I'm convinced that the Chesham at Royal Ascot was an absolute belter of a race, the best juvenile race that week. And I thought Sun Power ran really well to finish fourth. It was 33-1 shot. Like, made his move kind of on the near side, probably in the worst part of the track. I thought stayed on quite well. Looked the type of horse I thought would continue to progress. 7 furlongs back at Ascot. I know he's only rated 93, but I think he's a good bit better than that. I was impressed with his all-weather maiden win. So Sun Power in the 4:15 at Ascot.
When are we going to see those front two from the Chesham, DJ? Because they were really exciting, weren't they?
Yeah, I think Pinatubo runs at Goodwood anyway. But they're both entered at Goodwood.
Good. Well, let's hope they run, because that, as you say, that looked easily the best two-year-old race we've had so far, didn't they? Darren, what have you got for us?
I've 3, Bruce. First one's in the 6:45 at Salisbury, Bay Watch. He went in at 40-1 in Bath the other night, and his first attempt dropped to the minimum prep. And also his first run for Tracy Barefoot Saunt. I think I might pronounce that right. I'm not 100% sure. I just think the change of scenery and the drop to a minimum trip has been the key to him. He's well in under his penalty, and I think he's going to follow up here. Another one then is the 20 past 3 at Newcastle. We actually have to be playing four places on this race. It's a 2 mile handicap class 6. And the one I'm interested in here is Arctic Nell. It's only her second go over this trip on the flat. I think she needs every yard of it. She ran very well the last day. Her hold up style will be suited to Newcastle. And I think she needs every yard of the 2 mile trip. So the track should suit, and she should be a decent price as well. The last one then is Teodoro de Vega for your old pal Rafe Beckett. She got off the mark on her 5th attempt last time at Epsom, showing a good attitude to knuckle down and win. I think this stiffer, more conventional track will play to her strengths, and I expect her to go in again. She's getting weight off everything. She gets in here at the bottom at the ladies Silk Series handicap. She's carrying 9 stone. Next in the field is carrying 9-6. So I think she's going to be on an upward trajectory, and I expect to see a lot more of her starting here tomorrow.
Full marks for tipping a Rafe. Well done there, Darren. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings.
Flash card, 225 Ascot.
Darren Hughes.
Crystal Ocean, 340 Ascot.
Paul Keeley.
Macho Chief, 240 York.
Well done, lads. Excellent stuff. Let's look ahead to Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers, Darren Hughes. We've got two really interesting races to look at on Sunday, as well as all the rest of the cards. Up at Pontefract, 28 grand for the winner, so a decent field assembles at 3.55 for the Sky Bet Go Racing in Yorkshire Summer Festival Pomfret Stakes. Some good names in here, Kills.
Yeah.
Have you managed to suss the winner for
good
us?
Names in a rather annoying name as well, given that I've backed Lush Life for the international and she's in this as well. I have a feeling if it gets soft that Jamie Osborne might reroute her there. Not that she should have much of a chance. I think Rafe Becker's Defade is probably the one to beat.
He was in this and the Group 1 in Dover, wasn't he?
Was in the Group 1 at Dover. Handles any sort of ground as well, and that helps. But he's one of the best horses as well. Really good third last time. I think she'd take a fair bit of beating.
DJ, who do you like?
I'm all over the Fed. I thought that was a cracking run in the Duke of Cambridge. Voracious was just ahead of DeFade. And even the run at Deauville, I just think she just about gets the mile. Just about. So I think a track like Pontefract is perfect. And
this is the stiffest track in the country.
Hard mile that, DJ.
Oh really?
Yeah,
oh, I've got that completely wrong then.
Not that?
I thought it was kind of downhill turn into the home straight. And
oh, it's the stiffest 6 furlong in the country, put it
really
that way.
Stiff, mate. Yeah, you've been to Pontefract, haven't you, Kills? You loved it, didn't you?
I loved it there. It's a beautiful track.
Yeah,
God, I thought it looked I've never been there, but just visually when you're watching on television, there doesn't seem to be that much of a uphill climb to the line.
No, it can be deceptive, that, you know. I remember when I first went to Taunton, I thought it was uphill, but it's all flat as a pancake. So it can be deceptive. But no, Pontefract, before they turn in, they're climbing.
So are you telling me, Paul, I'm tipping the right horse for the wrong reasons?
yeah, it could be. I mean, I think she gets it well enough, especially in this field. It probably won't go too hard. She'll be all right.
Yeah, two votes for DeFade. Is there 3 votes, Darren, do I hear?
There's not, no, just... Funny DJ saying it's not a stiff track. Just try back and one that's 3 lengths clear at the furlong pole at Pontefract, and you'll find out just how stiff it is in 10 seconds. The one I came down on was Marie's Diamond for Mark Johnson and Sylvester D'Souza. Not a particularly strong selection. DeFede is obviously the class angle in the race, but her performance at Haydock the last day was quite good, and she might get her. She thinks she could be coming back into herself after having a good 2-year-old career last year.
Thank God Toaster's closed. That would have confused DJ, wouldn't it? That's what I was going about. They come flying down the straight there. The 250 at Dover is the pre-Rothschild, the Group 1 for 3-year-old fillies and mares. Overmile and lovely Lawrence is in the field. DJ, will she get the job done?
I don't know. I love her as well. I didn't think that Queen Anne was a particularly good race this year. She led them into the final kind of furlong or with 2 to go. She's got a chance, and on ratings, she should take the world of beating. One that I thought might be a little bit overpriced here and could run well is East, who I think you can forget about the run at the Curragh last time because it was just a Hermosa benefit, really, because Hermosa got to the front. Ryan Moore dictated the fractions and she won convincingly. If you go back to her run in Longchamp before that, I thought that was a cracking effort. I think she's a good filly, I really do. And I think, although Ryan Moore has been booked, I think she could be a little bit overpriced here. So I'll chance East at a decent price.
Do you think East is going in the right direction, DJ?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's I was going to say, no, it's not funny, I'm not going to say it.
Nor was mine, but anyway, never mind. Darren, who do you like in the Rothschild?
I've come down on Lawrence. I think she's a smashing chance. I mean, you say the Queen Anne wasn't a great race, but like in the intervening period, we've had two Group 1 winners beating a neck in a Group 2 Group 2 winners, sorry, beating a neck in a Group 1, and Libravita then was fifth in the sprint, a Group 1 sprint as well. I said that form is pretty decent, and there's nothing wrong with it. France have a heat wave at the moment, so she's going to get her favourite ground. Yeah, look, without prices, it's hard to say back her, but Jesus, I'd say she's a flying chance here.
And Kiehl's, what's your view on Lawrence?
Yeah, I think she'll win. I think she's good. I mean, that second of Mustachery is a good bit of form in the Lockinge. The thing about Ascot is it is not really a course for prominent races, is it? I mean, they always finish. So I think she did fairly well. She was only beaten three lengths at a stiff track. This is an easier track. And I think she'll just dominate them. She's better than them.
Lovely stuff. Anything else for us? We've got the rest of Pontefract. And we've also got Utoxeter, so if the rain does come, we'll be buying Utoxeter distances.
In places there, so
yeah,
it'll be bottomless.
Yeah, I'll be getting involved in the old distances at Utoxeter. Anything else we should be backing, Kiehl's?
Yeah, I've got one. Just we're talking about Pontefract being a stiff track. Diamond Dougal's been running well. It's in the 4:30. Diamond Dougal's been running well all year, but shaping as though he just wants a stiffer test. I mean, he did win at Windsor earlier in the season, but he's been getting going far too late. I just think Ponty might suit him. He certainly won't worry if it rains, but he won't worry if it doesn't either. And I think he's got a fair chance from the top of the weights.
Anything else from you, DJ?
Yeah, I like... it could be a decent price here. Breathable in the 250 at Pontefract for Tim Easterby and David Allen. I just thought there was a little bit more sign of life last time. It has ran well at Pontefract in the past, so it obviously likes these easy tracks. And I thought off a mark of 64 at Breathable... would be very interesting.
Righty-ho, chaps. Thank you very much indeed. Now then, next week's a massive week. It's Goodwood and Galway. Always very annoying. They've got to split those meetings up, but they never will. So I guess, DJ, you're down at Galway for a few days, are you?
Yeah. It's a war of attrition, my God.
Is it? How many days are you down there for?
I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I think. And it's like, you're getting to bed at like 2 o'clock and you're getting up at like 7:30. It's a bit of a killer.
Oh, I don't have the stamina for that anymore. You look forward to it?
Kind of. Like, I used to love it when I was in my 20s and I was single. Now it's like getting old, married, can't do the late nights anymore. So.
That's fine. Don't be afraid to just... go, turn in early, go home and have a nice cup of tea and go
to bed.
I like
actually now, like my friends slag me now, but I actually really, like obviously given the size of me, I actually like going for dinner now. Like I like going for dinner, having a glass of wine. Maybe it's a sign of maturity at last.
Well, you say that, but Kiehl's is about 20 years older than you and that's not his tactic.
When it comes to drinking, mate, eating is cheating. Yeah. You know, I had to go on a stag do in Ireland, in Dublin a few years ago, funny enough, and we drank all day, every day. We went for the like, Grand National meeting. And we went and ate at 8 p.m. afterwards, and that was it. I was out of the game. I was in bed before 11. Can't.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
Once you put food on drink, that's it. I'll just fall asleep now.
I fancy a bit of Galway, don't you? It'd be great one year to go.
Yeah, I'd like to go, but it's just, you know, it's just wrong time, isn't it? Because it's Goodwood, and we just have too much on, don't we?
You're going to Ascot tomorrow, aren't you?
I'm going to Ascot tomorrow, yeah. Can't wait for that. Yeah.
And are you getting down to Goodwood?
Love Ascot. I'm getting down to Goodwood to play golf on a Monday, but no, I'll be at my laptop for the rest of it. And it's, you know, I wanted to go on Stewards Cup Day, but it's my boy's graduation, isn't it? So I can't get out of that.
No, absolutely not. No, I should think not. Family more important. And Darren, I believe you normally you'd be at Galway, but you've been rerouted somewhere slightly different this time, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm travelling with work next week, Bruce. For me, so I actually can't make, but Galway was the best place in the world by a country mile. I went to university down there, so my formative years were spent in Galway. Haven't missed a week of the races since I was about 15, 16 years of age. Absolutely smashing week. I'm going to shoehorn one in as well. Get your money on Band of Outlaws, the Galway Hurdle.
Which one?
There's a left of Luton. Pardon?
Which is the horse?
Band of Outlaws for Joseph O'Brien. Okay. Yeah, he's currently taking in around 11-2 fav. He was bigger in the week, but
won a fair winner.
Oh yeah.
This is the horse that Tom Siegel said was the next Istabrak.
Really?
That'd be the very same. Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but if he's anything like Istabrak, he should be good enough to win a Galway Hurdle. I think I can see him going off 3-1, 11-4 on the day. I think that the money is going to come from. So I'd be saying Bath now would be 11-2 that's available.
Okay, and what day is that, Darren?
That's the Thursday, Bruce. Ladies' Day.
Brilliant.
DJ's day of the week, I'd say.
Keels, give me one bet at either Galway or Goodwood. I should imagine it would be
I like Dark Vision for the Golden Mile. Mark Johnson won the Vintage Stakes last year and he looked like a potential superstar, but he obviously went miles too fast and he just came flying through. And I think the way he's looked this year is he just likes these races on downhill tracks when they go fast. And I think it's going to suit him really well if he gets a reasonable draw. Not that it will matter so much with him because he is a hold-up horse. I think he'll come flying fast and late and win.
And what day's that?
Friday.
And DJ, you'd have a handle on both Goodwood and Galway. Give us one for each.
Yeah, I will. An old friend of ours, Bruce, and if Frank the Tank Hickey was on, I hope he'd be agreeing with me here. I think Coney Island can win the Galway Plate. He's inconsistent, he's unreliable, but he's only 8. And, you know, he at his best, he's a proper grade one performer. I thought he ran quite well in the Ryanair. And this year's Galway Plate, while the hurdle has the likes of Band of Outlaws and a whole load of horses that could potentially be top-notch graded performers over hurdles, the Plate, I think, is lacking in a little bit of quality this year. And to me, Coney Island is a standout one. So he was 14s earlier in the week. I tipped him in the paper. I think he's got a cracking chance. And in the Lennox Stakes at Goodwood, I just think 7 furlongs is one master's trip. I don't think she quite gets the mile. And I think 7 furlongs, Goodwood. I think we saw her in the Queen Anne, what she can do over 7. If the Queen Anne was 7, she would have won convincingly. So one master in the Lennox Stakes and Coney Island in the Galway Plate.
And what day are they?
Lennox Stakes is Tuesday and the Galway Plate is Wednesday.
Well done, lads. Thank you very much indeed. We have daily postcasts covering the Galway Festival and Glorious Goodwood all next week. So join us for them. And we're back next week on Friday to look ahead to another great Saturday's racing.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.